You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today we are teaching part 7 in an 8-week series. We've been teaching through the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul's letter, his epistle to the Philippians. We're calling this series Love Letter because that's what this letter is really all about. So I want to encourage you to be reading with us as we finish out strong today. I'm going to be teaching through the first 9 verses of Philippians chapter 4. Next week, we're going to finish out chapter 4. So go ahead and read the rest of chapter 4 this week so you can come back prepared next Sunday and get the most out of this series. So go ahead and find Philippians. That's in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. Keep going past the Gospels. You'll find all these little letters, these little epistles there, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I'll give you a little trick that'll help you. When I was in Bible college, because sometimes it's hard to figure out the order of those epistles, in Bible college, they gave us this little acronym, GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GEPC, General Electric Power Company. That'll help you. But then I came up with another one, Gentiles Eat Pork Chops. A little Jewish humor. I like that one better. So that'll help you find Philippians. So as you're finding Philippians, let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought that something was perfect? Maybe some product, something, some person, something was perfect, and then you discovered that it wasn't, and you were really shocked and disappointed? You ever had something you thought it was perfect, like this is the perfect whatever, and then you found out otherwise, and you were kind of shocked and disappointed? I mean, for example, you know, fall is in the air. Maybe some of you have been doing some shopping for your fall wardrobe, and you went out and you found a sweater that you loved. You're like, yeah, October's coming. It's cooling off. I love this sweater. You tried the sweater on. You looked at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, dang, I look good in this sweater. I'm buying this bad boy. And then you took it home, and you realized it had a hole in it, and you're like, no, I love this sweater. Has that ever happened to you before? Or maybe some of you, you bought a car, like a used car or a new car, and you're one of those meticulous people. You circled the car. You looked at everything. You're like, I'm not getting ripped off. I'm getting a good deal on this car. You checked it, Mike, meticulously, and then you got home and you found a scratch in the car, and you're like, no, this is messed up. I am taking this car back and getting my money back. And your wife was like, no, you're not. Come on, guys. Or maybe some of you, at some point in time in your life, you were dating a new certain somebody, a new guy or girl, and they just seemed so perfect. You're like, oh my gosh, this is too good to be true. This person is perfect for me. I think I found the one. I found the one I'm going to marry. You are like Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours, baby. Ow! Come on. And then you found out they had this really obnoxious habit, this thing that just ruined the whole thing. And obviously that person was no longer perfect anymore. Have you been there before? Oh, we're having a recovery session now this morning. Well, back in 2007, for you football fans, the New England Patriots had a perfect season. They went 16-0, the first time any team had done that in the modern NFL 16-game format. And they had a perfect season until they got to the Super Bowl and faced the New York Giants. Remember that amazing catch right there? Huh? David Tyree? And what seemed like it was perfect wasn't quite so perfect. The world found out otherwise, didn't they? Got a few Giants fans in the house. Well, so far, and those of you who are New England fans, this is a very painful memory for you. So far, the Philippians seem like the perfect church. Like Paul has been loving on them and encouraging them. There's no doubt about it. This was one of Paul's favorite congregations. And it seems like they're the perfect church. But today we're going to find out otherwise. A church that seemed perfect wasn't quite so perfect. Now, let me bring you up to speed if you're new to our church or you haven't been here for this series. In this series, we are looking at the Apostle Paul's letter, his love letter, his epistle to the church in Philippi. And the Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison in Rome. He is under arrest, not for armed robbery, but for preaching the gospel. And he is writing to a congregation that he loved dearly. He had fathered this church. He had planted and founded this church. And so he is writing to them full of love, and he's encouraging them to be of one mind and be unified and to love each other. And last week in chapter 3, we finished out chapter 3, Paul gave us this analogy that the Christian life is like a race. And he said, you can't look back. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to focus on Jesus. You got to press on. Don't be distracted. And he reminded them, your citizenship is in heaven. Like, you don't don't belong to this world. Okay, don't do things the way this world does things, but keep your eyes focused on the finish line. Press on and run your race. Now, today we're going to pick back up in chapter 4. So I'm using the NIV translation. If you're using a digital device and you want to pull up that translation, or if you have your Bible, whatever translation you're using is fine, but I'm going to be teaching from the NIV. So here we go, Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at the first 3 verses. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." So here he is. These are the people he loves. This is his love letter. And he says, stand firm in this way. What's he talking about? He's talking about chapter 3. Everything that we just mentioned, he's saying, keep focused. Stay focused on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Don't look back. Don't give up. This is how you stand firm. This is how you make it in this fallen, broken world that we live in, okay? And then look at verse 2. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So there was a little problem in the church here. Just when you thought this was the perfect congregation, we find out otherwise. There was a problem. There was some discord here between these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, were acting all ghetto up in the church and causing drama, okay? And Paul has to write and deal with this problem. This is further proof that there is no such thing as a perfect church, because the church of Jesus Christ is made up of imperfect people like you and me. So if you're looking for the perfect church and you strolled up in here today, you ruined it because you're not perfect. And none of us are, okay? No perfect people need apply. The world hasn't changed that much from Paul's time to our time. There was some discord. There was some strife. There's these two women that were well known, that Paul knew very well, who had some problems between the two of them. And Paul writes to bring healing to this situation. If you remember a few weeks ago, we looked at Philippians chapter 2. Paul encourage the Philippians to be of one mind, of one love, of one spirit. Don't make me start singing Bob Marley again, okay? He's like, you got to be of one love, one mind, one spirit, right? Have the same attitude that was in Jesus, who came as a servant. That's how you have to treat each other. And Paul's saying, this is the perfect opportunity to put that principle into practice. This isn't some pie in the sky theology. This is real life. Okay, everybody believes in unity in the church. Everybody likes that message. When I get up here and say, we need to be unified, we need to love each other, everybody's like, preach, pastor, come on, that's good. But it's easy to be unified until somebody offends you. Because if you stick around long enough in any church full of imperfect people, somebody will offend you. Somebody in front of you is going to take all the donuts and not leave you any, okay, and ruin your Sunday morning. You're going to get to know somebody and somebody's going to say something offensive. I'm going to preach something that steps on your toes. That is the time when you have to lean into this esteem others as better than yourself thing. Be like Jesus. Be of one mind, one love, one spirit. That's what Paul's saying. This is the perfect opportunity to put this into practice. You have this discord between these two women, and you need to help them reconcile it. He's writing to Clement and all these other people. We don't know who they are, but he's saying you got to get in the middle of this and bring reconciliation. And notice Paul doesn't choose sides, okay? Paul doesn't choose sides, and he doesn't come down with the hammer. He doesn't say, if you don't straighten this out, next time I come in town, I'm coming to put the smack down. You better get along. No. He speaks to them in love. In fact, he actually encourages these women and he admonishes them. And listen to what he says about them. He says that you contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. He calls them his co-workers. So he speaks to them with gentleness and compassion. And here's the principle I see at work here, guys. Be a reconciler, not a dramatizer. How many of you know there are some people who will get in the middle of a situation where there's discord and they will only make it worse? There are some people, when their friends aren't getting along, instead of getting in the middle of the situation and helping out and bringing healing, they only make matters worse. Some of y'all know people like that. And in fact, some of them are manipulators. They'll play people off of each other to try to improve their standing with people. And Paul doesn't do that. Paul could have done that. He was an apostle. He could have tried to use this situation. But no. Paul begins to speak healing and reconciliation into the situation. So be a reconciler, not a dramatizer. When there are people in your life who aren't getting along, get on one side and grab this person by the hand. Get on the other side, grab this person by the hand, and bring people together and bring healing. Now, as Paul starts to wrap his letter up, because we're in chapter 4 here, we're in the home stretch, he begins to leave the Philippians and us with some encouraging words. Look at verses 4 through 7. Paul gives some final exhortations. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So Paul begins to encourage them. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle. Know that the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. What is this all about? What did the Philippians have to be anxious about? Well, all of this points to the background, the backdrop of this letter, and that is the persecution and the opposition that the Philippian church was experiencing from its pagan neighbors, okay? This was the real world they lived in this pagan city in Philippi. You can go to Acts chapter 16 and read the backstory of how this church got started. It tells the story of how the Apostle Paul and his ministry companion Silas went to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel. And listen, the town leaders and the chamber of commerce were not there to meet them and give them a key to the city. You know what they did to Paul and Silas? They beat them up and threw them in jail. Welcome to Philippi, Paul. How you like our city now? That's what they did to Paul and Silas. They beat him up. They threw him in jail for preaching the gospel and for stirring things up. If you think that that kind of opposition just magically went away as the church formed and everybody in the town was just happy to have these Christians there, you're crazy. They were facing some opposition. They were facing some persecution. And so think about that as the backdrop of what Paul's writing here. And here's how he says to respond. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when things are good, but rejoice even in this situation. Let your gentleness be evident. Don't react to this situation. Don't be defensive. Don't pay it back to them, but react with gentleness. Know that the Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say anything. But in every situation, somebody say every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let me ask you this question this morning, church. Do any of you have anything in your life that's causing you to feel anxious or stressed out? Anybody in here? You can be honest. Come on, we live in New York City. There's a crazy grind that we live in around here. A little bit of stress in this city. Do any of you have anything in your life? Any of you have something or someone who's driving you nuts? Don't look at your spouse. That's not nice. Some of y'all are pointing at your spouse. Don't do that. Let me ask you this. What is your typical response? What is your typical response? How do you handle the stress? Some of you run out to a convenience store and you buy a bucket of ice cream and just eat the whole thing. You just do ice cream therapy. Some of you, as the stress level goes up, you have one more glass of wine. But the problem is, as the stress goes up and up, you keep adding a glass, and you got to be careful because you're developing a drinking problem. It's not really the most, healthy way to cope with your situation. Some people go on Facebook rants. They just go on Facebook and start ranting and raving about everything. No, I hate Facebook rants. Would you do the rest of us a favor and just post pictures of smiley faces, puppy dogs, and children on Facebook? You will make the world a better place, okay? Please. Some people just go in there. Some people just get angry. They just complain. They get nasty toward everybody. They just take it out on everybody else. Come on. You can go in New York City. There are little old ladies who will hit you with their purse and curse you out if you step in front of them because they're just mad at everybody. That's what some people do. It's not a healthy outlet. It's not a healthy way of coping with your stress. And Paul says this. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Every situation, by prayer and petition, bring your requests to God. So he says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. You know what we do? Our tendency is to do the opposite. We worry about everything and pray about nothing. That's our natural tendency, is to start worrying and to not pray about anything. But when you're facing a problem, that's when you've got to lean into the presence of God. See, there's what you need to do, and there's what you have a tendency to do. There's our tendency to react to situations that cause stress and anxiety, and then there's what we need to do. Those are the times not to freak out and to complain and to lose our minds. Those are the times when we need to lean into God's presence. We need to lean into prayer. We need to lean into worship and trust in Him. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life, church, when I could only find peace in the presence of God, where I could only find peace in prayer. There was nothing else that can bring peace in my life. This isn't just some pie in the sky thing for me. I have this verse on my bulletin board at home. I pray this regularly. because I need the peace of God in my life. But then there's one more thing you have to do. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Bring your petition, God. Bring your requests to him. But you got to do something else. You got to do it with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. This is gratitude. This is worship. This is giving thanks to God. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you find that you just naturally start thanking God when you're in the middle of difficult circumstances? Anybody in here? Because if you do, I really want to meet you. I want to be like you when I grow up. How many of you just find that you start giving thanks naturally in the midst of your problems? God, I thank you for this virus that I caught out of nowhere because I love vomiting and diarrhea. This is just wonderful. Praise the Lord. Come on. God, I thank you for this flat tire that I got on the way to work today because I'm going to be late for this budget meeting now and it's going to screw up my whole day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you, that's you, that's your natural response? How many of you, come on, parents. God, I thank you so much that my two-year-old is having a meltdown right here in the grocery store right now and I'm about to commit child abuse and they're going to put me in prison. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because if that's you, I really want to be more like you. But here's the thing you have to understand. Gratitude is the secret weapon. Gratitude is the secret weapon in your spiritual arsenal because it changes things. Because sometimes, here's what happens, church. Sometimes when we pray, we just worry out loud to God. That's what happens. Sometimes we begin to bring our problems to God and we worry out loud to God. And here's what happens. We don't have any more peace at the end of our time of prayer than we had when we started because all we really did was worry out loud to God. Have you been there before? Some of you experienced that before. You're like, I don't feel any more peace having prayed. And it's because all you did was worry. You didn't give thanks. But in the midst of praying, you got to begin to give thanks to God. You got to begin to worship him. You got to include that in your prayers. You got to pray with thanksgiving. Now listen to me. I'm not saying you have to pray little watered down, sanitized prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. These nice little polite prayers. God can handle your problems. Have you read the Psalms before? You ever read King David? He wasn't afraid to go to God and even complain. God, where are you in my life? My enemies are pursuing me. He didn't hold back. He told God exactly how he felt. God, I need you to kill these people. I need you to kill them in a violent death. Kill them in their sleep, God, please. He told God exactly how he felt. You can bring your problems to God. You can be honest with God, but something powerful happens when you include thanksgiving in your prayers, when you include gratitude in worship. Listen, the psalmist brings his complaints to God, but he always comes back around. Yet will I trust in you, O God, my fortress and my strong tower, my shield. I can trust in you. And what happens is when you include thanksgiving and gratitude in your prayers, what happens is God gets bigger and your problems get smaller. When you begin to recount the faithfulness of God, when you begin to remember how God showed up in your life, how he didn't let you down, how he got you this far in your life, what happens is your faith begins to grow and God gets bigger and your problems get smaller. That's why you have to include gratitude because it's the secret weapon. And here's what happens. Paul says if you'll do that, there's a result. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what will happen. The peace of God will come into your life. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you freaked out and it made things better? When's the last time you went to one of those unhealthy coping mechanisms and it actually made the situation better? See, often we can't change the circumstances. We can only change our response to the circumstances. Come on, sometimes the circumstances are beyond your control. You get a bad diagnosis that you're sick. Sometimes that's outside of your control. All you can control is your response to the circumstances. I love this quote from Mark Batterson. He said, if your emotions are anchored to your circumstances, they'll look like a stock chart that goes up and down daily. You'll have lots of bear markets and probably a crash or two. But if your emotions are anchored to the cross, it becomes your fixed point of peace. See, if your emotions are tethered and connected to your circumstances, you're going to be all over the place. And some of us have been there before, but you've got to get it to where your emotions are anchored and tethered and rooted to the cross, to the work of God in your life, so that that becomes the fixed point of peace in your life. And look at what kind of peace this is. This isn't just any kind of peace. It's a peace, look at this, a peace that transcends all understanding. I love that. Let me give you a simple definition of what that means. It's peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. It's peace to where when your friends are like, no, you should be freaking out right now. You might lose your job. You have peace anyway. Because it's an inner peace. It's the peace of God. It's a peace that transcends. It passes all understanding. See, joy isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of God's goodness. Some of you need to put this in your notes this morning. Because you're waiting for all of your problems to go away for you to eventually be happy. You're going to be waiting for a long time, like your whole life. Because you're probably never going to get to a point in your life where all of your problems go away. You might get through some of the major problems, but there's going to be some minor problems or vice versa or whatever, because Christian joy isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of God's goodness in the midst of your circumstances, whatever you're walking through. Because let me help you understand this. Biblical peace isn't just the absence of conflict. In our English connotation, when we say peace, we think about the absence of conflict, of strife, of anxiety. But the biblical idea is shalom. It's the fullness of God. It's the wholeness of God. It's the presence of God, the completeness of God in your life, no matter what season of life you're in. And the Apostle Paul says, if you will put this into practice, if you will pray instead of being anxious, and you begin to give thanks, then this peace can invade your life. It can come into your life, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. Now look at verses 8 through 9. Paul says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard of me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, this is a really good list for you to review. Let me just encourage you, whenever you come across a list in the Bible, especially in Paul's writing, just take some time. Stop your reading for a moment and just look through that list and do some self-reflection. Let's look at this list together. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, admirable. Paul's saying, these are the things you need to focus on. These are the things you need to dwell on. These are the things that you need to put into your mind. These are the things that you need to be thinking about. And let me just give you a little hint, okay? Half the things on Netflix and Amazon don't fit this list, okay? Let me ask this question. What are you filling your mind with? What are you downloading into your mind? What are you dwelling on? What kind of thoughts are you having? Are you dwelling on negative thoughts? Are you filling your mind with junk food? What kind of media are you putting into your mind? Oh my gosh, here he goes. Pastor Jeremy's going to go on one of those old school preacher guilt trips. He's going to tell me what shows I can watch, what music I can listen to, blah, blah, blah. No. That's not how we do things here. That's my style. I'm just saying you got to be careful with what you put into your mind. If you fill your mind with sex and rage and violence, you might feel less peace. You might wonder all of a sudden, why don't I feel peace in my mind? Because you're filling your mind with things that don't bring the peace of God. There's a lot of good media. There's a lot of good movies and shows out there. I'm saying, but you got to use wisdom as to what you're putting inside of your mind. Okay, let me give you this analogy, okay? We got some healthy people in here in this church. I know some of you are very health conscious. Have any of you ever done a detox or a cleanse? Anybody, any health conscious people? Come on, this is Westchester. We got people who do this kind of stuff, okay? Any of you guys ever done a detox or a cleanse? Maybe after the holidays, you wanted to rid yourself, your system of all the junk food you ate. So you drank or at least you tried to for a week to drink green smoothies or something like that. And you were detoxing your system. You're spending a lot of time on the toilet flushing yourself out. Everybody's would you come out of the bathroom for crying out loud? You've been in there for hours. Stinking up the place. You did a cleanse. You did a detox. Paul's saying you need to do a mental detox. You need to do a mental cleanse. And here's how you do it. First of all, you have to empty yourself of negative and sinful thinking. Because I'm telling you, sometimes, a negative thought can get in our minds, and it's like a record that's stuck. It's just playing over in our minds. We're upset with somebody, and we're just replaying it over in our minds, and we're mad at that person. Somebody said something about us, and we're just replaying it. Or somebody criticized us, or whatever. We just got down, we had a bad week, and we stayed in that frame of mind. And we're stuck there. You got to rid yourself of that. You got to uninstall that, and you got to download the Word of God into your mind. This is how you cleanse yourself. Then you got to get the Word of God into your mind. You got to meditate. You got to pray. Sometimes you just got to be silent and just clean your mind. That's how you do a mental cleanse. Okay, you got to have times like that. I take my Sabbath day on Mondays. And last week, man, I went out and I got away. There's some trails by my house that go out into the marshes by Long Island Sound. I got away for a couple hours. I just prayed. I cleared my mind. I meditated. I'm from Louisiana, so I feel really at home in a swamp in the marshes. It was great. That may not be your thing, okay? But go wherever you can go to where you can make peace with God and allow your mind to be renewed. That's what Paul's saying in this crazy world that we live in. See, our culture is waking up to the fact that we have to be careful with what we put into our bodies, right? There is a wide revolution happening in our country with the way we eat in this nation. We are collectively waking up as a nation and realizing we've got to eat better because we're killing ourselves. All these documentaries and these trends, and it's really good for us, okay? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you have a very strict diet. I'd love to go out to eat with you. I'm like, hey, let's hang out sometime. You're like, okay, Pastor, sure, but I'll only eat an organic, plant-based, whole foods, gluten-free, non-GMO diet. I'm like, okay, great. That limits our options a little bit. But this is good, right? Like our nation, our culture is waking up and realizing we've got to eat better. We're killing ourselves. But, you know, it would be crazy to obsess over what you put in your body, what food you eat, and not think about what you're putting into your mind. It'd be crazy to do that. Now, this, once again, this is not an old school pastoral guilt trip telling you what you can do, what you can't do, what you can listen to, blah, blah, blah. This is about a God who is our creator, who knows what's best for us. This is about a God who wants you to be healthy in mind and in spirit and in body. And if you come into harmony, into rhythm with these principles, you will find peace. And it's crazy because people are looking in all kinds of different directions to try to find peace, man. People are trying all kinds of stuff and people think that the scriptures are irrelevant. No, 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 there's peace in here. This is ancient wisdom that people have practiced for thousands of years. You need to blow the dust off your Bible, get into the Word of God and get into these principles. Because this is about renewing your mind. This is about finding peace. And here's why this matters. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If you'll do these things, if you'll practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. See, what you fill your mind with will impact your peace. What you fill your mind with will impact your peace. This is about the God of peace showing up in your life, paving the way for him to come into your life. And God saying that, Paul said, if you want God to come into your life, you've got to, like, you have to set the stage for him. If you'll do these things, if you'll renew your mind, if you'll trust him, if you'll be careful what you put into your mind, and if you'll pray, and if you'll give thanks, like man, the God of peace will come to you and bring his peace to you. I want to pray for you in just a moment as we close out the message. But let me ask you this morning. If you're lacking peace right now, what are you dwelling on? What are you dwelling on? What are you putting into your mind? This is an opportunity for you to have an honest conversation with yourself, to do some self-reflection. Maybe you need to do an inventory of what you've been putting into your mind, what kind of media you're consuming, what kind of negative thoughts you've been entertaining, what kind of bitterness you've been rehearsing in your mind. You know what you might need to do to do this mental detox? You might need to just journal for the next couple of days. Just take some notes in your phone. Just think about what kind of thoughts are in your mind. What kind of negative vibes are in your mind? What kind of stuff are you putting into your mind? Who are you listening to? What voices are you entertaining? It might help you. Just like some of you who have tried to diet and lose weight, you like maybe kind of, you know, took a journal of how you're eating or how you're exercising. You might want to write some things down. Do a mental inventory of what you're putting into your mind and your spirit. It would help you out. It's a practical thing you should consider doing. And here's the other thing. At the top of that list, write down these words, noble, pure, right. Right? Think about the things that Paul said and ask yourself, does that describe the things that I'm downloading into my mind? Take a spiritual inventory, okay? If you're filled with anxiety and stress and worry, what's the source? And how are you coping with it? What are you doing to cope with it? What are you doing about it? Are you turning to those unhealthy tendencies that you have to try to find peace? There's a lot of good things you can do, too. Don't get me wrong. You can exercise. You can eat better. You can go for a run when you're stressed. There's a lot of healthy things you can do. Prayer's right up there at the top. But there's some other good things you can do if you're tempted to go toward some of those negative things that you do to cope with your stress. And see, there's a lot of people doing that. There's a lot of people trying to find peace in all these different exercises, yoga, meditation. Some of that stuff's good. I'm not saying it's all bad. There's a lot of people trying to find peace. But here's what Paul's saying. When you do things this way, you will not only find peace, you will find the God of peace. That's why I love verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, ultimately what people are searching for? Ultimately, people are really trying to reconnect with the God of peace, even if they don't even know it. Some of you are in this place this morning. You're not quite sure what you believe about Jesus, about the Bible. Somebody invited you here, and this is all new to you, but you know something inside of you. You're searching for something. You've been looking for a peace. I'm here to tell you that it's the God of peace that you're looking for. And you want a place to start? Look at what's noble and what's pure and what's right and what's good and what's praiseworthy. That's a good place to start wherever you are in your spiritual journey, because I believe those things will point you to the God of peace, because that's his address. He lives at the intersection of truth and goodness and beauty. So if you don't know where else to start, if you're not sure what to believe about Jesus, just start there. And I believe those things will point you to God, your creator. It's the God of peace that we need in our lives. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, I've experienced this firsthand. Back in 2014, I've shared some of this before. I went through one of the hardest seasons of my life when we first moved to Westchester. I was under more stress than I've ever been through. I lost my father-in-law the first week we moved here. We had a baby a few months later. We were all over the place emotionally. Things didn't go well. I was under the most financial pressure I've ever been in my life. For the first time in my life, I was wondering if I could take care of my family. And I'm telling you, all I could do in those times, there was such great anxiety. I would wake up in the morning some mornings, and I had so much anxiety. I didn't want to get out of bed because I didn't want to feel that pain in my stomach. Some of you have been there before. You know what I'm talking about. I'd rather go back to sleep than feel that weight that I felt on my chest. And it was in those times all I could do was trust in the presence of God. All I could do is get alone and pray and get into the presence of God. There's a Catholic church at the end of my street where I go to pray. It's a nice, quiet place where I can get away from the kids and everything. And I'm telling you, there's a pew that I walk by every now and then. And I remember a day that I sat in that pew with tears streaming down my face saying, God, where are you? I'm going through the hardest time of my life. I feel like I'm all alone out here. I feel like I missed you. Where are you? And you know what? God showed up in my life. He met me in that place. And every now and then I stop by that pew and I'm reminded, God, you kept me. You didn't let me lose it, God. You kept me. You took care of me. You met me here. And I found a peace that passes all understanding. And I begin to thank God for his faithfulness. And I'm telling you, church, you got to learn this. You got to begin to practice this, to embrace this peace in your life when it doesn't even make sense to have peace. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you stand with me? The worship team's coming back in just a moment to sing a final song, and I want to pray you out with a blessing this morning. This is a moment of self-reflection. This is a moment for you to have an honest conversation with God, to say, God, what are you saying to me about this message? What are you speaking to me? And for some of you, that's not hard because you're in one of those times right now. You're in a season of stress and anxiety and worry. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to pray for you that God's peace would come into your life this morning. Would you just bow your head with me this morning? And would you pray with me as we pray this morning? God, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you that your word is alive, that it's relevant, that it still speaks to us, speaks to our lives, it speaks to the things that we're going through. And Lord, this morning, we want to put this message into practice. God, today we want to let go of our worries and our fears and our anxiety. We want to come to you, God. We want to come to you in prayer and trust in you. God, we want our vision of you to be bigger and our problems to get smaller. And so, God, today we are letting go of fear and anxiety and worry and doubt, and we are embracing your peace in our lives. God, today we're going to give thanks. God, we're going to begin to recount your faithfulness. We're going to thank you for all of the good things we have in our lives. God, we're going to thank you for all the times you showed up, how you pulled through, how you kept us, God. God, today I'm praying for your peace. Your peace that transcends all understanding. God, your presence, your goodness. God, I'm praying for it to invade our souls and to guard our hearts and our minds. God, today I'm praying for our minds to be renewed. Some of you need to pray this with me. Jesus, renew my mind. Come on, pray that with me. Jesus, I'm inviting you to renew my mind today. I'm letting go of negative thinking, sinful patterns of thinking, things that I allowed to come into my mind today. God, renew my mind today so that I might find your peace. And God, I pray for the person who doesn't know you, for the person who's in this place today who would say, Pastor, I really want the peace that you're preaching. I don't even know how to find it. I just pray today that they would pray with me. Jesus, I receive you into my life. I let go of my sins and I open my heart to receive Jesus as my Savior, because I want to know the peace of God in my life. And God, I'm praying for those who pray that peace will begin to overflow in their lives. May it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And everybody said,
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.